If he's going to, of course, we won't go, you know.
No, I don't think so.
But if he's going to take her out, we can stay, we'll stay home and do it another time.
I haven't heard nothing about it, but I heard Lynn ask him yesterday what was he going to get, what did he have Coco for her birthday? And he said, she done got grown up now. So I guess she might.
Girl, huh?
Yeah.
Well, if they don't go out, I thought I'd fry chicken and fix some salad and fix something like that, and we'd go up there and you can go with us, and we'd, the four of them, five of us will eat supper.
Okay.
Well.
Hello. I don't think so, though, because I haven't heard nothing about it. When he comes in from working, he's too tired, I think.
Yeah, well, that's the reason I fixed the supper and take it up there. I know he is just wore out.
He is, and like, we went down there where he's working the other evening on that lake.
Uh-huh.
And I'm telling you, we like froze there.
Yeah, I would think so, ain't I?
Yeah. I told him, I said, Dolph, I don't know how in the world you stay here. I said, I got to get in the car. They caught a bass, he told me.
Yeah, nice one.
Yeah.
We thought,
said that Hal and Butch fished all day long, Fred did, and didn't catch a thing.
Well, I'll be done.
See, it's weather condition.
Hey, Damus, if they could have brought in what they had, they'd have had a load.
Who?
Raymond and...
What, did they lose them?
Yeah, lost them.
Oh, Fred.
How many did y'all lose?
You know,
I... Three or four, ain't I, Miss, if they brought one.
Well, I kind of wonder... If J.B. has got to write B to something other, because he just loses so many.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe they don't have. Well, you fish around and find out today.
Okay.
All right.
Well, she's coming down here directly. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
Legal mandate. That is what it should do, to tell hospitals how serious the matter is and to throw the full weight of the law behind its responsibility. The FDA says it didn't know until the last day or two they were ample supplies and says it will be at least a week before other manufacturers can gear up their production to replace Abbott products at hospitals across the country. Barry Serafin, CBS News, Washington.
The federal government has
the new prime minister tomorrow and British troops are on full alert. Great Britain has nothing like Vietnam on its hands, but the development of anything approaching real civil war in Northern Ireland could have the same rending and tearing effect on the collective nervous system of Britain that Vietnam has had on this country. The fact is that the social glue that holds together the tight little island with its homogeneous population and its instinct for order is coming more and more unstuck. Crime and violence are by no means what they are here, but British society now throbs with the same overtones of acrimony, distress, impatience, the same deep-seated crisis of confidence. The British unemployment rate is only half what it is here, but it is rising. Their inflation is even worse than ours. Organized labor is disorganized and virtually out of hand. Here the dominant signs are that we are slowly pulling out of our recession. There the dominant signs point toward a real depression. They do not have our elbow room for economic maneuvering. There is a certain parallel between the Nixon presidency and the Heath premiership. Both are conservatives with a strong instinct for economy, orderliness, and good housekeeping. Both want to put through basic reforms in the national life. Heath wants to force the British people to face some underlying realities. Government cannot ensure personal happiness or corporate solvency. Business after business is inefficiently managed. Millions of both blue and white-collar workers simply do not work very hard, and no substitute has yet been found for that. Heath seems to be gambling that enforced austerity will have a unifying, not a fragmentizing effect. Mr. Nixon, on the other hand, is not thinking in terms of real austerity, whether it's good for the national soul or not. He is, in fact, loosening some economic reins, though still basically relying on the workings of time to revive the economy. He is trying to reform the federal system with more power and money to the states, trying to reorganize the jungle, the federal bureaucracy, and the welfare mess. The common denominator of these policies, and his Vietnam withdrawal policy as well, is that they take a lot of time. This is also true of the Heath policies in Britain. But Heath has a guaranteed four more years before a new election if he chooses to weather the gales. Mr. Nixon is only about a year and a half. Like Heath, he abhors the quick fix, the temporary stimulants that only make the illness worse later on. But the American system of the four-year term, which more and more people here feel is no longer relevant to the presidential task, means the inescapable danger that any president with several long-term policies will fall between several stools.
That's the...
Well, I tried to call his child and tell her, Ry was be paying the check, the light was in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah,
I called Anna Priest.
Yeah.
Well, he left the light on the bathroom last night.
Yeah.
See, in the daytime, if somebody will pay us in the nighttime, he put it out.
Yeah, well, it's about night when y'all left.
And that's why we pay attention to it.
Yeah, I just sitting up here looking at laughing. They so crazy.
On Channel 2?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we ain't turning hours on. Jay, what's going on out there kicking the Chinese TV?
Sure enough.
Huh?
Where Mr. Jake going to bed?
No, he ain't washing dishes.
Oh. you give him a job, eh?
Yeah, they wash the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
So if I cook, he wash the dishes. He cook, I wash the dishes.
Yeah. Old silly dilly, he went on home.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Well, what was he?
Drunk.
I knew he was drunk. That's why I wanted Jake to go talk with him.
Mm-hmm.
See what he was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was going to bring that up about hitting Susie.
He might have was. Then he's talking out there asking me a whole lot of questions. I told him I was busy looking at television. I said, because I don't want nobody to say nothing to me when I'm looking at television.
What, he was asking you a question about that?
Asking me about that hat.
Oh, asking you about that hat.
Then talking about he going next weekend. I told him, Hattie don't want you there.
He ain't going. I would have told him, Hattie don't want him there. I said, yeah, if I was you, I wouldn't go see Bob.
I'm going. I said, that's your business then if you're going. Because Hattie done said before that.
Hattie's sick
and she don't want to be bothered. You know, last time he was there, Hattie had to call the police turn.
Yeah.
He carried and ripped red and teared on, so told her he'd kill her if he, huh?
The cat was telling me that.
Mm-hmm. Told her he'd kill her if he called the police.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's nasty.
I know he's nasty.
I just don't quit saying anything to him, because if he started me again, I know what to do for him.
That's why I told Jake that I wanted Jake to go on in there to see what he was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got to blow up my top.
Mm-hmm.
He might not have going to say nothing to Jake.
Well, he might have wanted to borrow some money from him. When he get to drinking, you know, he got a big mind.
That's about where he want to borrow some money. Talk like he did that night when he come in there and speak.
Mm-hmm.
And come in there and talk about so-and-so and try to be so nice and call Jake out on the back to talk with him. He do
probably
get the drink,
you know,
and get a lot of
other
people
to
want to show out
with you, man. Yeah, that's right.
I thought he clowned after we left. He come there. I thought he clowned after we left.
Because
he come there and asked me. He said, "Where's Jake?" I said, "You only out to him."
Mm-hmm.
Asked me, "Could he speak to Jake?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You gotta ask me, can I speak to Jake?
Yeah.
I said, "What'd you say?"
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him again. He said, "Oh, sure."
Mm-hmm.
And walked him back in. If he had to say that again, I was going to tell him something right
there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard him.
Yeah. Could he speak to Jake?
Being sarcastic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he don't know. I'm his teaser. And then I have his equipment right with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Take his money and go drive by liquor with it. Ain't nothing here in the house to eat. The ice boxes just as bad as
they can. I don't blame you. I let it stay like that.
Sure gonna stay like that.
Now he didn't give you no money. This is why I left. Okay, now he's gonna play that again, cause he's just as much nice he did when he was giving you the money.
Yeah, he's gonna play it again, cause he said he meant to do it.
Well, okay.
After I told Mr. Fred to not let him have nothing down there.
Well,
I have to do that, Miss Liza, cause that bill was $68, see?
I don't tell anyone but $15 around there. You ain't got no business paying no money.
No, I ain't gonna pay all that money out.
You ain't got the right to pay as much as they do. Cause why? You cooking it. And that man looking right at you for that money.
Sure, yeah. But
you got him running up, that's you.
I'll fix him next week. He can't get nothing next month. Can't get nothing down there now. Because it's $60 now. With what we owed Mr. Fred. We owed Mr. Fred $20.
Well, Well, I guess y'all get for me in blood, thick, and water anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you one thing. My brother come to me once, yawning for a lot of deer, my oldest brother.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his wife had separated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to the hospital.
Yeah.
So when he come out of the hospital, he had my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
See? So I was waking. So you know what I did?
Mm-hmm.
When he come out of the hospital, I told him he could come to the house and stay.
Mm-hmm.
But now when he get up, when he could get around,
yeah.
Where he been carrying his money,
mm-hmm.
he had to go there.
He got to go, that's
he
right.
He got to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, he wasn't going to make it bad in my home.
Mm-hmm.
You
see. That's
but
right.
When he quit his wife, he was running around with this woman and the other woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told him, so sure enough,
mm-hmm.
this girl was nice to him.
Mm-hmm.
She took care of him and everything there in my house.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
He bought his toothpaste and everything.
Mm-hmm.
She did
well, I don't.
Now, she did that now. I'll
mm-hmm.
give her that. I'll give him that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she loved him, but he didn't care much about her.
Mm-hmm.
The one that he was crazy about, she ain't did nothing to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, sure enough, when she got away, he could walk around her.
Mm-hmm.
She cooked and washed and everything for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then when he got up, where he could work and get around good sure enough,
mm-hmm.
that nigga went and married a woman he got now.
Sure enough.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that all
mm-hmm.
Poor girl, they do them like that.
Mm-hmm.
They do them just like that.
Mm-hmm. So I just told him, I said, well, one thing about it, I said, you my brother true enough.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but now, you can help yourself and you're going to help yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I just told him straight and plain,
mm-hmm.
I said, you're going to help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, I meant it. So that's
mm-hmm.
what he did.
I'm going to pull the line in, too. You wait.
So you got to put the foot down, go now he come in there. Go in there, I went back in and I told him myself, I said, Jack, come on, see. Jack,
mm-hmm.
come on, see.
Mm-hmm.
Boy,
yeah.
I see the bar, and I went back there. He the pop just dipped.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
yeah.
have to wash his hand or
mm-hmm.
not.
Mm-hmm. No, he do that all the time.
Right out the street.
And then come and eat out the plate,
and
eat
up,
out the box.
Drunk.
And if I say anything, like he'll have a fit. Mm-hmm.
And up, drunk, too.
Mm-hmm. Nasty and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I done ate my supper.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sirree.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought he was going to climb. He jigged off now. He might climb or whatever. I was going to get everything straight. I'm going to call
mm-hmm.
her. Try to call on one of the ladies I work for when I come
mm-hmm.
back to work.
Mm-hmm.
She had been here looking for me.
Oh, yeah.
And was wearing me a cover. But I couldn't get her. I brought her mother.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was in there squawking at me about something, and I told him I was sorry. I didn't hear him. I was looking at television. I said, because it's time for my programs to come on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I sell that right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't say no more, did he?
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
He went out cussing Carrie out, but I didn't hear it.
Well, cussing Carrie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you want to cuss
up? We ain't got no sense. Talking about going, I told him all this long time had it been sick and you just going to see about her. I said, had it been sick and she is now and ain't nobody went to see about her.
Well,
and she holds that against us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, well, had I been sick right along with you, I said, I've been just as sick as you are. And I said, the others could have come to see you, I said, but I wasn't able. Even when I was in West Palm Beach, I wasn't able to go.
Mm-hmm.
I had it was sick, and I wrote Carrie to go see about it, and they ain't went nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And Hattie holds that against him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he going, I know what his point is. He had it sick, and he going to run home and think Hattie going to leave him something, but Hattie ain't going to leave him nothing.
Because
mm-hmm. Hattie done said she going to leave her place to the estate and let the estate bury her and then they can do what they want to do. And she say that all the time. Then she told me when she was here that she would leave me her home, but she was scared Carrie and Arthur wouldn't let me live in it.
Well, okay, but I don't fault her for that.
No, I don't fault her.
No, I don't fault. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
So it look like to me, I don't know. It's just my hiding. Now, so Jason got it me by saying that a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
But it look like to me, I guess cause you is like you is. But it look like to me, they all wants to boss you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they do boss you to a football
field. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? I just tell you, I hope my temper don't be like that if I ever get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I hear y'all talking about how I had it.
Mm-hmm. That's how come I want to get away from around them.
I hear y'all talking about how I had it, but I'm like Miss Hattie.
Mm-hmm.
I can put up with that bitch.
She's fine. She's nice. She's fine.
Because she
helped me a lot, you know. She helped me, but she get them habits on her.
Yeah, but I just couldn't put up with that mess that you put up with.
Mm-hmm.
All that old nasty Christmas coming. You can't only expect the people. You'll never get a boyfriend and nobody.
Never
will.
He
just can't get common people to come right there and keep you. He don't want to start with now.
That's
you
right.
To see you
like, well, uh-huh. He went to the park.
To the door. Did you ever come to the door?
Mm-hmm.
And, she was going to pull the door, and he was pushing the door.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't see him through the door, and he couldn't see her through the door.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the door ain't got no glass.
No, you heard it.
I hear what he's saying. Now, that was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Al, as far as I ran, went on back to the house cussing.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn, they all got to be out there in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And this and that and the other. Goddamn, this and the other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, that don't make sense.
Well,
you
don't
see a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way I feel about it, I guess I feel about it because I don't drink it.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I have tried what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean has been drink.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure. I think a person that's be doing that,
mm-hmm.
they have enough in them, and the things they want to do, and that's the way to get chance to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They're drunk.
Yeah, that's right. Sure.
But I lighten on one of them tail and thunder on his head just as hard as he's playing drunk as he would if he said.
See, he done went over there to the bar and told them men over there that he didn't want nobody coming over here to see me. And every time he come to the house, Buddy be in my room. Buddy said,
that's right.
But Buddy come and told me that. Buddy said, well, she called me. Buddy said, I don't go in her room unless she called me.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't ever said nothing to me. But if he says something to me, I'm going to tell him right off, right now. Because he ain't got nothing to do with me.
Well, now, that's why he don't come as much as he do.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I know.
The reason.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't a dog all that much as a reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reason again, and the dog could be something too.
Mm-hmm.
But after he done put it out, quite naturally, if the dog do that, people going to look around
mm-hmm.
because you know
that's
meaning.
Yeah, that's right.
But
mm-hmm.
now he ain't got no business speaking that no way,
mm-mm.
So you know people could think any kind of way.
That's right. Anything. That's right.
So they had that long time ago. He was liking his mama.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he heard that.
Oh yeah. Oh sure. I heard that in West Palm Beach.
Okay.
Where he stay? Over there in the lady's house with Miss Laura. When Miss Laura doing Miss Laura's lifetime, she used to come up here quite often, you know, to see Bubba.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd go back. When she come back, she went to the house to see me, she told me that that's what the people was down here saying.
That's what everybody
was
saying. It must be true.
Say he was going with Carrie, because Carrie was always behind him and all that kind of. But people gonna say things like that, you know. Sure. That's how come I tell her all the time. Leave him alone. Let him do what he want to do. You can't boss him, and then you can't be no companion for him.
That's right.
And she cusses me out.
That's right.
And all the time, if she hear a noise, is that my boy? I said, well, you get up and go out there and see. Is that your boy? I said, because I ain't even looking. Mm-hmm.
And then he ought to mind how he speaks to
That's
her.
Right. That's
people.
Right. Sure.
Have a body to go there to see
Well,
the way he tells on the way he acts, he don't even particular about women's coming to see
him. If he ever say anything, I'm going to get him told. That's right, because he ain't got.
Them people had to send me somewhere. Either I have to go somewhere. I'm going to go out there to. Go back out there and, you know, touch the willow back there somewhere.
Yeah. Miss Bessie been trying to get me to come up there with her.
Well, why ain't you there? If she'll do for that, that is, I hadn't given that a thought.
She been wanting me to come up there and stay with me.
Because
she know how it is. Because she, cause Liza done went through the same thing. And Miss Bessie, Miss Daisy, and all of them know.
Well, now, you know, I never had to give that a phone. That would have been nice.
Yeah,
well,
it was.
Still got room there since Liza, ain't it?
Huh?
She got room there while Liza, ain't it?
Yeah, she had three bedrooms.
Well, that'll be nice, and I was going to see that child and put you... Oh, gosh. I need it. Ooh,
yeah,
no.
But...
I had to go away.
She's sick herself, you know. So.
Well, yeah, but...
Yeah, she's not doing good.
Yeah, I was sick, you sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just want to be sick or good here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Miss Betty always used to be after me back. Come stay with her, because she always wants some young'un around her, you know. Yeah.
You know, I never had to get out, so then you'd be right up there side of the woods and sit on the porch. Well, you know what? Now, just like when I first come out of Bowman.
Yeah.
Well, I don't got kind of new story now most than I did.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was thrown away.
Yeah.
You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Bowman has such a bad name about
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
And the next thing about it, I used to hear people say, you know, they get to talking about respectable people. When Lenny's born.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, now, really, people said, because the white people told me, say, Liza, if I didn't know you and your husband before y'all bought the year, I'd have never let y'all bought the year.
You were allowed to clear.
She said, anybody got any respect to themselves don't live in both.
Well, how about...
back down east there.
How about all them other people that think something of themselves when they, Adam, me, and Les, and them.
Well, they up on the floor.
Yeah, Mr. Tom and them.
Well, you see, it's better than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say now. It wasn't no respectable people down in here.
Yeah.
Well, you know Mr. Tom and Bessie. And, well, come on, they ain't no better than nobody else. But
no.
What I mean, they was used to be.
Yeah,
like
I understand you.
See, because all of us do the same, but when you get to a place, you public your business up and down the street, cursing and going on, and ain't got no respect for nobody.
Well, that's right.
Now,
sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
You right. That's right.
That's what I'm talking about. But now, it's all of us are boosting. But now, we can't hide from God, but we could have respect for ourselves and for other people.
That's right. Sure.
That's what I'm talking about. So now you know those people. We talking about they'll drink and do anything else, just like anybody else. But still, they got a stopping to
Yeah, that's right.
And then they got respect. You don't hear about so loud cussing and
No.
And in this place, man, it's better than you.
Sure, no.
Ooh, this place is 1,009 bucks. Yeah, this place is called. Honey, right in front of my door, you wouldn't be number a bathroom.
You wouldn't have to.
When the women get drunk, they see them
in. And then when they dry out, it smells so bad.
And then that was a honky tonk right on across the street. And on Saturday night, Fridays and Saturday, you better not to back your car to y'all.
You wouldn't have to.
Wasn't no place to back it out.
Wasn't no place.
The
garden had the street covered.
Yeah, and that when we park on the front, when we back out, Chicago van, I had to talk about going down the back and doing getting later where I wake up on over, come up here. Because they moved their car to my drive, and I couldn't get out.
Couldn't get out, that's
but
right.
Horrible,
then they ain't got no business parking in your driveway. They ain't got no business parking across it. They put a ticket on the cars in West Palm Beach if they park it in across the parkway.
Well, they'll do it anyway,
the driveway.
Guys out in the woods in the country. And if anyone do something out there, they ain't going to call the police. Why? We've been knowing one another all the time. And you mad my brother.
Yeah.
We went to school together all the
time. All that kind
of
stuff.
People don't tell them about it. They like Lisa.
That's
so
right.
When I was living in Fort Lauderdale, where I was living at was Rome. If you couldn't buy you a home and live there, you couldn't put no house out there.
Out there, that's right.
And then the next place about it, if you got a home out there and you store in the peace, and two or three people could go down and sign for you, if you know you had to sell your home or you was straighten up a move.
Yeah.
It was Rome where you was living at.
It
was the first place I ever come to. You could stay in one block and build a juke in the next block.
I never lived there until I come here.
Of course, you know, it's a place like that in town, all right? But I never just didn't care to live in that part of the town.
Part of the town, yeah, that's right, sure.
No.
Yeah, everybody got their own choice about where to live.
But I just like that, and I talking about, like I was showing me, talking to do about his sister. So your sister kind of like me, nervous, you know, and can't stand nothing,
mm-hmm.
you see?
Mm-hmm.
And he said himself, he said, well, it's just people being like that.
Mm-hmm.
So when a person ain't used to nothing, quite naturally awake when they knew.
Well, that's right, sure.
Well, you see, I wasn't used to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what ailed my nerves now, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But when, see, when my husband passed, I told you about I had a little light nervous breakdown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, from then on, so much of drinking, this cursing and all like that. Oh, man, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you is that right either?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just drink, but not crashing and go, oh, God.
Yeah, sure.
I had, then I had a stroke.
Mm-hmm. That's right, sure. Mm-hmm.
All that cussing you got to put up there with,
mm-hmm.
oh,
I'm telling you, it's a wonder
I
had.
I look back and see, so sorry.
It's a
wonder
I had nervous breakdown before now.
Mm-hmm. And then people want to come and see you because
mm-hmm.
Burnett said himself, so he'll like to come and sit and talk with you,
mm-hmm.
because he don't have no place to go to.
Yeah.
Like to come and sit and talk with you,
mm-hmm.
but just on the count of that.
Well, it was different when Burnett used to come here before. Because we'd sit down, and of course, when I got sick, you know, I put my television out in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to come and sit in the room, and we'd clown and cut the food and look at television
mm-hmm.
and tell he get ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So now, it's, every time he comes, it's something. He told her last time he was here, he said, how come I come? Every time I come here, you run out.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. You run out here, and she couldn't, something come up when she was talking, and when you know anything, she done got up and bounced out here in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
He said, where you going?
Mm-hmm.
He liked to tease her, but he means it, you
mm-hmm.
know.
He
mm-hmm.
tells her, Bob, tell her a joke you eat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it like
mm-hmm.
that? And if it ain't her, it's him. So.
Mm-hmm.
But if he like that, just like this other fellow we were talking about
mm-hmm.
just a while ago, well,
mm-hmm.
now, he'll come and do more, and he'll come more regular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But just what was spoken, just on the way they do,
mm-hmm.
he spoke about that. Now, he
mm-hmm.
didn't spoke to me about it,
mm-hmm.
he spoke to somebody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said that fella will put your business in the street
mm-hmm.
and make people think something in it.
Yeah, when it is. That's right. Sure. Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything, you put your business in the street and mm-hmm. make a person think something
mm-hmm.
ain't nothing to
do. Yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
About like when you told him over there that every time he turned around, Buddy is here in my room, but he ain't got nothing to do with that. And that makes news get out. You
sure,
know what I mean? Sure.
A bunch of people
mm-hmm.
over there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But people, somebody else will go right on and tell it.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. And then they don't know, you don't know, and I don't, nobody
mm-hmm,
else
mm-hmm.
don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You should
make
the deal about
herself. Mm-hmm. He said, if you want to know something, say, go down there to Miss Daisy and Miss Bessie. Say, if the carrier goes down there and talk, say,
yeah,
all she wants.
I told you
mm-hmm, all she wants is a drink of liquor.
Yeah,
and she'll go to talk.
Mm-hmm. I told you, I said, you don't tell him. I said, like, she doesn't talk, going in, don't tell him.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, she told Ethelie and them that Buddy took her to see me at the hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she shouldn't have never did that.
Mm-hmm. No, she shouldn't have never did that.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy said she come right on back and told it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, but she get just like all the rest of them, she just get that lick in it, she want to talk. You heard her say today, who that, who you talking about? So she can tell it, you know.
Yeah, she grabbed the cow by the tail there once.
Mm-hmm.
You know me? You
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, I'm just breaking in.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Jake's niece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
And I left.
And she go right on out there and tell it.
Yeah, she was like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I hear Miss Liza say it so. I talk right on, ain't doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. I know
I
you didn't.
Miss Liza say it so
mm-hmm.
and so.
I know you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I
one way.
Right on.
That's one way to ignore her, because she's a mess.
Mm-hmm. I just talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll let you go, but honey, you got to straighten up then.
I'm telling you, some straighten
you
up,
there's
some straighten up got to be done. I'm telling
you
the truth.
You got to straighten up, because I'm going to be the place after the wild women, then
you
want to come
here. You want to come here, that's right, I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to wait till that order come through for that apartment. You think I'm lying, but I'm sure going. Because I'm sicker out here. I'm just so sick. I don't know what to do.
I know something over there by yourself.
Yeah, sure.
Nothing
but
he come in here with a baby. He going to say something.
Yeah, that's right.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm right here because I had a drunken husband like that, and I divorced that man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I divorced that man.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Mm-hmm. And I love them put over there because I'm over 900.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
then done had a light, mm-hmm. little light nervous breakdown.
Yeah, you're getting old and you can't put up with that.
I'm already old
now.
Well, that was my first marriage. Mm-hmm. You
yeah.
are young men.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's two things I can't put up with.
Mm-hmm.
That's a drunk and a gambler.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I can put up with a gambler, but for God's sake, don't come home drunk and raising sand.
Mm-hmm.
Tearing up it. I used to have a gambler.
Well, now, if a gambler like this, if he bring me the money or get to pay bills and
mm-hmm.
things, it's all
yeah.
right. But if
mm-hmm.
some people are come
mm-hmm.
for their job
mm-hmm.
and you don't see me till Monday morning, then you see me just like you wasn't even to wake up
mm-hmm.
Monday morning.
Yeah, that's right. Doris's daddy, Isaiah, was a gambler.
Yeah.
He gambled. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But he come home and get that money out and put it on the bed and count it and give me so much and so much. Then he put the rest of it in his pocket. Well, see, he be done give me
well,
money.
Well, it ain't nothing
mm-hmm.
to say then, because
that's the way.
What you give him, if he throw it away, that's
mm-hmm.
him.
That's
mm-hmm.
the way he used to do me at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. Well,
when
that's
he worked,
right.
When he worked down there to the building
mm-hmm.
where he worked,
mm-hmm.
he worked down there and, oh, everybody give him. And sometimes he'd come home with $250 for Christmas presents.
Yeah, yeah. Back
mm-hmm.
that time,
yeah, and he'd come home. Sometimes they'd give him boxes, you know, different things, and he'd come home and put that money on the bed and give me about $50 anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know what you mean about that, because I know now, just like I just told you, I said, now, okay, you can go out there and drink it up if you want to, throw
mm-hmm.
it away, or put
the
meat.
That's right, sure.
Put the meat or anything, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of meat I'll be telling you.
Yeah.
Put the meat or any kind of way you want.
But that'll be his money.
That's your
mm-hmm.
I don't care what he do, because I've got money.
That's right, sure.
If he want to go out there and give his money away or throw it away and stand around and swallow a bit, that's him.
Mm-hmm.
You
sure.
know, that's just like I say about your brother now. He'll get his pocket full of money, come in here and give it away. But now he
mm-hmm.
know he got a place to go eat.
Mm-hmm.
Go and sleep. He don't pay for sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
He don't pay for eating.
Mm-hmm. Don't pay for nothing.
He don't pay for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So he ain't got nothing to worry about.
He ain't got a thing to worry about.
See?
That's right.
Not a thing to worry about. I sure start to worry about eating if it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
And then after, well, me, after he done stopped like it is, my eyes done come up now. I just tell him,
mm-hmm.
well, now, if you give me the $5,
mm-hmm.
$5, just as good the month when you didn't give me nothing.
That's right.
You
sure.
did.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you just don't give me the $5, you buy your own tobacco and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you get his tobacco and own $5
mm-hmm.
and feed him a week?
Mm-hmm. Well,
he
gonna be coming to your house for something to eat before
he,
the month.
He you know where he rather go to, before he come to my house?
Before the month's over with.
Hey, you know what he rather do?
What?
He rather go up there to the floor, and I declare the floor can't stand.
So now,
who? Miss Roy Richards came to meet him in a car.
So now.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Cause what this lady name is Smith. She said she can't stand, the people are talking about, they can't stand how Miss Smith let him wait around her house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because it's so dirty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's right.
Well, she said herself that he won't work when he get his check.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay then. But them people cannot stand that
mm-hmm.
thing.
I don't think she bothering with him much either, because he ain't been down there to do no work in a long
now,
time.
Now, maybe they don't hold a meeting, because
mm-hmm.
I know they used to say that.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, I'll let you go.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I'm sorry about, you know, because let me tell you this, because Rob was out there the other day.
Rob
Wood was out there the other day and over on the tractor. And boy, when he saw him out there, great goodness, he liked to have a fit. Well, you know, to say he arrested him one time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he just don't. So Carrie told him, say, you better stop. Okay, and then another thing come up. And he said, she said something about you could be working for JB. And great goodness, he liked to have a fit. And she said, you better stop cussing these white people.
Oh, he be cussing behind in the back.
He must be.
Oh, girl, that's bad.
Because I know they'd be the knock his teeth out.
They'd
be the knock his teeth out.
You know what I tried to tell her this evening?
Mm-hmm.
Every time I go there, quite natural, I guess she just be doing it, you
mm-hmm.
know. She'll ask me, I know it's that 4 or 5 times, how
mm-hmm.
Susie.
Mm-hmm.
How Susie.
Yeah, I hear. Mm-hmm.
How
yeah,
Susie.
I heard her ask you that.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it made me feel think, you know, I've been thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
But I had told Jake a couple of days ago, I said, next time she do it, I'm going to tell her.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why are you asking about food? I said, he said he hit Susan in the head with the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Susan got in about that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, he swallowed it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, he told her all down about Bowman or somewhere. I said,
mm-hmm.
I don't know who told her.
Mm-hmm.
But she knew it.
Yeah.
So she got at him about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say it.
Because
you might figure you told her or something
mm-hmm.
like that, you see.
Well,
and
I didn't tell her.
I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I know it. But I didn't say that. I figured she
mm-hmm.
might feel like
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to be cussed out or you'd be dogged about
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's why I didn't say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But now, that man, he got y'all bleeding.
Mm-hmm. No, he ain't got me bleeding.
How that man could do so much every time he come on?
His
head ain't tossed.
Mm-hmm.
His teeth is knocked out. If his teeth ain't knocked
mm-hmm.
out, his eye ain't tell
he got her bleeding, it, not me. I ain't that big a fool.
It's for sure not to be bleeding because he don't win no battles.
I ain't that big a fool.
Nah, did he hear about?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see now. Jake, how long that been when he went running for down here? That been about 2 or 3 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Sure no.
Oh, man. About 3 Sundays ago.
Mm-hmm.
They had that nigga sailing off of now. Tell me that nigga turned off that road going through a bum like a V8-4.
Sure no.
Anyway, you see him and get his money, he come back in.
Mm-hmm.
And get feet and beg back and over.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to
mm-hmm.
just like, as soon as he got him behind him.
Mm-hmm.
All right now. Who you my friend? Who this and the other? People can't make me and you fall out. This
mm-hmm.
oh man,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't know that nigga.
Be done went out and told a bunch of lies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You all just don't know that nigga.
That's how. Well, don't you know he ain't fooling me? Cause I know he don't talk about
don't
them people
that
like
that
before they face.
That man,
before they face.
I better leave these white people.
Mm-hmm.
Now he say he going to cuss out the white people when he get
mm-hmm. me. Yeah, say you better. Stop talking about these white people. Something she told me, I was a pimp.
Right.
I told her, yeah. I told her, yeah, I was going to tell everything
around.
I knew.
He was like, he could go around and cuss out these.
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm going to tell you, he ain't got very many white friends up there.
I know that. You ain't got very many no kind.
Who you want you?
Mm-hmm.
Who you want you?
I know all about it.
Who
you ain't got very many no
and
kind.
And don't you know if he cuss them people out like that
mm-hmm.
now?
Miss Bessie says she don't speak to him.
Well, who else do?
Mm-hmm.
I hope I can keep from seeing him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling the truth, because they'll be here. They'll be here. I come there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in your yard out, and if it wasn't for a pit, I told you, I said, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, we just passed it through and keep it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I sure did, because
mm-hmm.
I said a bad word when I drove up there and see me in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what's going to become of me, that's the truth.
Well, honey, he is tough, though.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot of his gun happened, he'd have caused it with his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's right. Very talkative.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, he got that from his ma. His ma is just the same way. She tell everything she know. Mm-hmm. Tell
and
everything.
And some things they don't know they tell
mm-hmm. Sure she do. Go right on down there to Ethel Lee and
mm-hmm.
talk and carry on all that
hey,
stuff.
Hey, you see she go down there and talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see when Jake get there, she gonna talk to Jake,
mm-hmm.
you see. Ethel Lee gonna tell Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if she don't tell Jake, she'll tell Buddy and them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see,
yeah.
Well, that's just the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you go up there and sit on Miss Bessie, them pool.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah,
well,
that Buddy, Buddy said that. Say she
well,
go
now,
down there and get a drink
Bessie
from Miss Daisy.
And Miss Daisy told
mm-hmm.
they be together, they going to tell
mm-hmm.
it. Well, now, don't you know that Doris right there? Well, now, oh, my Lord.
Well, it's one thing, the reason why he don't come up here so much on the kind of mistake. You know, she ain't working now. When she see him out here, she opens that back door and stands in it.
All right, well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
On the counter,
mm-hmm.
well, she done told Miss
Bessie
mm-hmm.
and Miss Daisy too. Sure, she opened that back door and she stands in that door.
Mm-hmm.
And sometime at night, I see her opening that back door. I said to myself, something gonna knock.
Mm-hmm.
scared
mm-hmm.
to death. Something gonna scare to death out there one of these nights.
Mm-hmm.
Stand up in that back door.
I know what
mm-hmm.
you mean.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
mm-hmm.
she right there looking.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, this is why people talking, just
mm-hmm.
like I'm telling you.
Yeah, sure.
And it come right out of your house, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it comes from.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure, it come out of there.
Mm-hmm. right.
Come right out the house.
Mm-hmm. That's where mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure did. She told me one time, not too long ago, that Doris didn't like me. I said, well, I haven't done anything to Doris. I said, when to start off, me and Doris was pretty good friends. I said, but Doris, I'm sick now. And I said, I don't have any legs, and I can't run around with Doris.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Doris like to have somebody to run around
well,
with.
Well, you know, she said that the other night, see, when, before you got on, see, everywhere Doris
tends,
he used to be right with Doris.
Yeah, well, sure, well, now.
Yeah, Casey used to run right with Doris. He used to be doing the same thing Doris
mm-hmm.
was doing.
Yeah, well, we wasn't running around.
If you had your two ladies, you'd be right with Doris?
Well, maybe I would. Maybe I would. If she come and ask me to come go out, sure, I'd go with her. Because I'm not supposed to be a princess or something like that. But
and then you're a single woman.
Sure I am.
Mm-hmm.
Sure I am.
Now,
yeah, and she spoke
it. If you had a husband, I wouldn't say go out and stay out all night for
no.
Your husband. Now you're a single woman.
No.
You're supposed to start later than she did.
That's right. If I don't come home at all, that'll be all right. Because
well,
I ain't got nobody.
Because
I ain't got nobody waiting on
that's
me.
That's right. Even your baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tell mama myself.
But she spoke words. She spoke that. Mm-hmm. And, Buddy said, I seem like to me she said it before, Dart, poor Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And Buddy say, wonder how come she always starting some kind of old shit like that. He wanted to get kind of hot, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he spoke it out loud right here in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm not paying her any attention. I said,
mm-hmm.
just don't say nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she said that. So mm-hmm. I told her, I said, well, I ain't done nothing to her. I ain't done a thing to her. I don't do as much to her as all them other women out there with two legs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do nothing to her at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I know she don't fault me for doing anything.
Because
mm-hmm. I can't do nothing. What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she speaks all that old kind of stuff and makes me so mad I don't know what to do.
Well, a praise just want to keep something going.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
I said, you'll never get nowhere as long as them two
mm-hmm. No, just like she do Willard.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She always...
Yeah, because she didn't see which way he went.
Mm-hmm. That's how come
she went
flying in the house. Mm-hmm.
And when you went back in the room, she didn't know what was happening.
No,
wrong back
I went back in the room to tee-tee because, you know, if I don't do that when I have to, then before I can lock my chair and get up on my pot, you know, I be done started. So that's how come I went back to do that. And I know, boy, she come in that door like lightning.
Sure did. She like to run over me, drum on my toes when that poor get me there. See, she didn't know where he
mm-hmm. No, she didn't know which way he went.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she was looking at me talking, he passed along on the bike.
Mm-hmm.
And he went up towards Dodge
uh-huh,
to me.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't see me.
Yeah.
But honey, when you went back in that room
mm-hmm.
and she thought you closed the room door.
Yeah.
She looked back in the room, you see.
Uh-huh.
And you ought to see it up, get me.
Mm-hmm.
She like run over my toes.
I know it.
Just like you some little girl and she
mm-hmm.
said something.
Yeah, it's like on some child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. She do that all the time. Every time Willard come here, she about half drunk, she have something to say, make me have to cuss out and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too bad, I'm telling you the truth.
It sure is.
It's pitiful.
It sure is. Mm-hmm. I say about you when I come home, I say, I guess he clowned at her. I figured he might want to start something, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I say, Jay, go and see him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what he wanted.
But he didn't clown at me because
I've
got everything to throw at him. I'm
going
to start to throw in mm-hmm. things and hitting him. And if I miss him, that's all right, but I'm going to start to throw him because I'm tired of foolishness, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you got your phone. You could call for help.
Mm-hmm.
You sure could call the police.
Yeah, oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. And the police will sure come and gain mm-hmm. in that county.
Mm-hmm.
And if I just wouldn't bite my tongue, if because, see, he done attempt to hit you twice.
Mm-hmm.
I know one sending that out of there you talking about hitting
you. Oh, yeah, that's the third time now.
Oh, go on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the third time. That was the third time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to get drunk that one of these nights and hit you or knock you out of that chair.
And I'm going to lay him out, too. I hope to lean him out. If I get me enough money, I'm gonna get me a little pistol.
Then well, you need something like that, now, cause our red boy, he like that. He don't have no legs. You know, they fix his car where he could drive, though, cause he's from Vietnam.
Down up there in Redick. I heard about
now,
that.
I mean, his mother's good friend.
I heard about that man with no legs up there.
Well, he can run. He got his girlfriend. He got a baby. Done got him a baby.
Sure enough. God, he got everything. He got everything.
Yeah. Well, man, like the girl told Jake, they ain't had nothing to do with the legs.
No, no.
Just like I say about you, now.
Sure.
Because you ain't got no leg. That don't say it. Everything moved from you.
That's right.
Okay, so women's got two legs and don't have no feet.
Don't have. That's right, sure.
Sure, that's right, ain't it?
Sure, you're right.
Yeah, you're right.
So, he
doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
But now, he got him a little pistol.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps with him all the time.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Who that listening to?
I know telling. I don't know who it is. Some of them
old
children. I'm
going
to report it, too.
And he's trying to keep it with him for protection, you
mm-hmm.
see.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, you see. Well, I mean, his mother go to work.
Uh-huh. Somebody did that today when I was talking to Miss Hall, and I had to get them told I'm gonna tell the operator. And I had to, me and Miss Hall had to hang up. It was so bad.
Well, you see, there's no school today, and it might be those school children.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a grown person that asked for the line.
Yeah, that's right. If it
they
was,
be that
if it's important, that's right.
They wouldn't be that nasty.
Tomorrow, I'm gonna report it. Because if you got a telephone, you're supposed to talk as long as you want to.
And if anybody else want to use the line, and it's important, they should ask you for the line.
Yeah, that's
right. Because that's what made you ain't got a private line. See, people used to do me like that when my line wasn't private. But if I pick up my phone and somebody talking, I put it back down.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and
the
then
I
go back again. If it's important, I say, excuse me for breaking in. Let me use this
that's
phone
right.
just
sure.
for a minute and
if,
get it
sure, if it's important.
I'm about to
call
something right. or do something in front of me, you know, where I want to go or something.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm going.
Well,
let
we'll hang it up.
Yeah, let them go ahead on and use it and get through with it. Tomorrow I'm going to report it. Because somebody did me that today when I was talking to Miss Hall. And they did it so bad, so we had to hang up. All right, I'll call you tomorrow.
Well, I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
When I come in for the week.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
The very first institute that we ever had in America, which was a research institute, the Smithsonian Institute, was founded by a deist, which is a precursor in America to an atheist. The very first secular college was founded by a deist in America. The very first astronomical laboratory was founded by a deist and atheist in America. And I'm talking about Girard College, Smithsonian Institute. I'm talking about Thomas Alva Edison, Mark Twain, Florence Nightingale, almost every great name that really did something, somewhere along the line, rejected the Christian ethic.
I asked you who were horrendous.
I'm certain that Stalin was an atheist. I have read a great deal about him. This doesn't shatter my faith in the tenets of atheism. It means that there are perhaps monsters in every religion.
Do you
or
have
lack
any,
of religion.
Do you have any quarrel with the deists being included
well,
among the atheists?
I'm just very, very confused by that point. I don't understand your associating deism with atheism. A deist is one who believes in God very definitely.
Well, I think actually that one has to go back into the history of deism and the writings of the deistic persons and certainly of our founding fathers in America and what they meant in respect to this.
I've been trying to think of one of our founding fathers who was a deist.
What? You're trying. You're kidding.
No. Let me finish. Who was a deist who could be, by any stretch of the imagination, be called an atheist. I don't understand this. They believe very definitely in God. They rejected often the Christian ethic, and I think that is often misunderstood.
Yes, and I think that it's necessary
but
to say
this,
that our Constitution had the word Jesus Christ and the word God specifically left out of it. And when we were talking in terms of our Constitution, we were talking about we the people, not about God. The first four presidents of the United States were deists. You
right.
know this.
And they believed
the
in
first,
God.
No. What they believed in was nature and nature's God. Now, what you're talking about, now wait. You see, what happens is this, and this happens constantly, and this is why you include God to define us in. You know that there are 200 million persons in America, and that when you talk to 200 million persons in America about God, you're talking to that vast silent majority who thinks then in terms of this man, it's a male image, he's white, he has blue eyes, he's authoritarian, he might have a wee little bit of Jewishness in him, not too much, but he might have just a, you know, his great-grandmother might have been a Jewess, something like this. And this is authoritarian, etc. It has to do with church attendance, it has to do with hymn singing, it has to do with everything else. Now, when you, as a superior intellect, give an esoteric definition to God, those poor people out there don't know that you mean something entirely different than they mean. So I think that when you talk to people on television in America, it's necessary to talk in terms of what is generally believed to be God in the United States. And it isn't your idea of deism. It isn't your idea of nature and her rules. It isn't any part of this idea. And when we get back to deism, and we try to bring it up today, I don't think that any of our founding fathers would be at all perturbed right now to be included as atheists, as this word is known and used in America today.
All you're saying now is what I tried to say at the very beginning, that it's extremely important to define very carefully what we mean by God, or what we mean by atheism, or what we mean by theism.
But you will
otherwise,
do it.
We don't
you
even
use it as an ultimate concern, and you even include atheists in it.
Wait, let's let him
otherwise,
make this response.
All
we'll
I'm saying is
question.
Otherwise we aren't even communicating if we don't at least have this kind of semantic beginning to our conversation.
God is everything.
Both of us have been actually generalizing to such a degree that what we've been saying is passing over or under each other. This is a beautiful example of the very problem.
Yeah.
You can't accuse me, for example, of defending what some silent majority somewhere has as the idea of God in your opinion.
No, because you get back to Jesus Christ. And you get back to a definition of God ideas in relationship to a specific historical entity and a resurrection and a death and all of this. And this is very specific. This isn't an ultimate concern that somebody died.
But even there, we have as many different opinions of what that means as we have opinions of what God and deism, for example, in a more general sense means. So
right.
We would have to communicate with each other, at least to try to understand what we're saying.
All right,
okay,
and this is what I accuse the liberal theologian of.
We have a poor man who's been trying to ask a question for 20 minutes, and I want to let him ask
you
a question.
You said or implied a while ago that this despicable individual Christ that degrades life.
Yes. I didn't
you
imply
know what,
it, I said it.
What would Martin Luther King think about that statement?
I wouldn't have the faintest idea what Martin Luther King thought about that statement.
Well,
incidentally, I knew Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And I would not presume to speak for him.
But
I think, though, that Martin Luther King can make mistakes about God ideas and Jesus Christ ideas just the same as you or I or anybody else.
May I speak from my own experience? I think that Martin Luther King would say that his life was upgraded, and his life had meaning, and he did what he did, and he gave his life because he believed in Christ.
You cannot
I would say
speak
that.
For Martin Luther King.
Well,
I'm
this
sorry,
is my sir. Experience, and I think
Could
it would
I
be
say
his.
Just a word here.
All right.
I know you're anxious to get to these people.
Martin
Luther King and I were schoolmates and attended many classes together and debated these very questions up at Boston University, where he got his doctorate under the same man that I did. And rather than defend either one of you at this point, I want to say this is a beautiful example of what I've been trying to say all along, that Martin Luther King, from within his point of view, would try to give meaning to life in accordance with his experience of that Judeo-Christian tradition. I try to do it from within my point of view and describe it, and you, from your point of view, which is a very different one, you tell us what life looks like to you. And all we can do is try to communicate with each other and learn from each other at this point. This is the thing. There's no there's no bashing each other over the head and forcing each other to accept the position. This will never be.
With all due respect, though, let's not carry further the discussion of what Martin Luther King's notions might have been. What's really important is what Ms. O'Hare and what Dr.
The only point I was trying to make was that he has his opinion, you have yours,
right.
I have mine,
right.
And in this country we need to try to communicate with each other.
Pick me a questioner up there. You've got a half a dozen.
Can atheists and religionists get together on one point, though, that from what I have picked up from Christianity, the main thing is to love your neighbor. From what Mrs. O'Hare is saying, love your neighbor, live for now, live for the people around you. Can't we get together on that? Even in this room, there's such tension. There's hatred between the two sides. People are, at least we're not putting Mrs. O'Hare on a scaffold or something, but in another day she would have been. But we're a little bit more civilized, but still there's hatred. Can't we get together instead of tearing down? What is the common ground? Can't we talk about this charity or love?
Would one of you like to respond?
No, I get back to this same thing, that the essence of Christianity is intolerance of another opinion and intolerance of another way to salvation, except through those persons who do accept Jesus Christ and through him find some sort of salvation or meaning in life. And the Christian will fight to the bitter end to make everybody love this idea. And what the atheist is interested in is this. We believe that religion is a private affair, that it should be out of the public arena altogether, that those persons who care to live these kind of lives with these kind of ideas have a right to do it. But they do not have a right to move out into the culture and saturate the culture with these, either in the news media, in our legal entities, in our political life, or in any other way. And we are saying simply and only that there has never been an opportunity for persons on our side to present our side of the problem or our side of the picture in order to say, all right, we should move out into real human love, not into human hostility. We should be pro-human, not anti-human, as religion is. And we never have an opportunity to even be heard in relationship to this.
Dr. Baumann, is there anything you want to say on this
point?
I
just want to say that when Mrs. O'Hare lumps all Christians together and attacks a certain definition of Christian, which she has apparently experienced, she is as intolerant as she accuses the Christians of being.
That's not
true. You can't lump them all together. I would agree with
the
person.
If you don't like the definition, get out of it.
What definition?
The definition of Christianity that has been given to you through history. Then you get out of it and start another thing.
This is my point, that there have been many people who have never been in that definition. I don't understand how you can generalize and put all Christians in a certain category of intolerance when there have been countless examples of those who would... it seems to me be a complete denial of this position.
And I ask you to again read Jesus Christ and his words and what he feels should happen or should not happen to those persons who will not join him.
All I can say again is that we are reading a different gospel if you have a problem at this point. I think we should not ignore the questioner in that the essence of Christianity as far as its result is concerned is the very kind of love that this young lady has talked about.
I've experienced that love. I know all about it.
I would agree completely with her. If there have been persons who have been intolerant, and apparently you have suffered terribly at their hands, I would simply say this is a misunderstanding of what the gospel says to me, and certainly to Martin Luther King and to many others.
This gentleman in the yellow shirt by the wall has had a question.
Mrs. O'Hare, and an atheist went over to quote unquote the mission field one time and found a native reading a Bible, and he said, "What do you mean, reading that dumb old book for? Don't you know it's a collection of fables and there's a lot of mistakes in it?" And the native looked up to him and said, "Well, if I hadn't heard the message of Jesus Christ from the missionary came over here, you'd be in my kettle right now." And I have met personally the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And before that time, my life was Dudsville. But now I have an aim, a purpose, goal in life. And if you would just give Jesus Christ a chance in your life, I know you're put on the spot, but if you would say... simply say, if you are alive, Jesus Christ, if you really did come from the grave, I would be willing to surrender to you and let you be my Savior and Lord. If you are alive, I'll give you that much of a chance in my life.
Do you hear what you're saying? You're saying, I'm going to surrender my identity to you, I'm going to surrender my will to you, I'm going to surrender my humanness to you, I'm going to surrender. For God's sake, stand on your own feet. Live your own life, not Jesus Christ's life. You have something to do.
He can live his life.
You have, no. Do not surrender your mind to somebody else. Do not surrender your thoughts to somebody else. Do not subjugate your freedom. I'm surprised at you, a young man.
I'm a part of the establishment. I turned 30 the other day, and I know that the life that I lived up to that time before I met Christ as my Savior, I deserve to go to hell. But Jesus Christ...
Hallelujah! I'm glad you had a little fun.
The gentleman that... Yes.
In view of the fact that our subject is atheism, the religion of the future... I'm sure there are honest atheists here tonight that are serious about this. This is a serious thing, very serious. And I know there are religionist Christians here tonight who are deadly serious about this. I believe, Mrs. O'Hare, did you infer that this is a tongue-in-cheek proposition, this religion you're establishing, that you're just doing it for a front? We want something serious here, and does this represent all the rest of your doctrine? Let's be serious.
I am talking about taxation of the church when I say that there is something here that's tongue-in-cheek. I have a tremendous amount of information on the new religion, faith in man, the freedom faith, the fourth faith, the faith that comes after the Protestant faith, the Catholic faith and the Jewish faith, the faith that goes on where they stop, the faith of the future, the faith of the now. I'm perfectly willing to send it to you. You can get it just by addressing me in Austin, Texas. There are pages of it.